was farming.
Down, left, right.
How do you type it?
Okay, so we're doing the Sugya Veseba. Okay, leaning. It's on Psachim 108a. Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. It's at the two dots. Yep. Okay. So it's about the Sugya Veseba. Okay. So what does this mean? Give me 1 second. Yeah. So it says, look at the Mishnah, actually, for a minute. For one moment, look at the Mishnah on Sadi Tassim and Beis, 99b. Erev Psachim Samach Lamecha Lo Yochal Adnav Ashtach Shach Afilo Ani Shev Yisrael Lo Yochal Ad Shiyasef. So even a poor person shouldn't eat until he leans. Okay? Until he leans. Veseba. So Rashi says, what's this din of Veseba, Rashi? Ani Shev Yisrael Lo Yochal B'Leili Psachim Ad Shiyasef Kederech B'nei Chorin. He should lean in the manner of Bnei Chorin, b'mita, ve'al ha'sholchan, zeich al-cheiros, in his bed, by the table, this is zeich al-cheiros. So it reminds us of the cheiros of Yitzchus Mitzrayim. So we eat in a leaning position, right? In the bed. Fine. Is there Rashbam? Let's see. Same thing, basically. Okay. So that's basically the way to eat the Seder. Okay. So now let's back to Gemara. So Gemara says like this. Itmar. Gemara is discussing basically where in the Seder demands a Seba, where in the Seder does not demand a Seba. So it says, Itmar. Matzah tzarech haseba. Matzah demands a Seba. Maror in tzarech haseba. Maror does not. Okay. Fine. So let's see Rashi. I mean, Yayin is going to be complicated. Which kosa? Some kosas do, some kosas don't. But let's keep it simple for starters, okay? So matzah needs leaning, mara does not. So Rashi says like this. Matzah tzricha seba, kivnei choren. Like free people. Shehu zecher le'ula. Because matzah is a zecher for geula. But mara ain't tzricha seba. Shehu zecher la'avdus. Because it's a zecher for avdus. Do they have Avdus? Or is reminding us of the Avdus? Okay. Rashbam is on the bottom. Matzah Seba Kishochel Matzah Shal Mitzvah Laila Rishona Kibnei Chorin Shizecher Ligula. So again, Zecher Ligula. So you eat it like Kibnei Chorin, but Marin Tzorch Seba Shizecher Avdus. Okay. Alright. So what I'd like to do is understand the halacha. What's this halacha of Zechel Avdus, Zechel Cheiros? Is this like why they set up Haseba at Matzah and not at Mara? Because it's supposed to remind us of the Cheiros? And therefore, like, what exactly is the Pshat here? What exactly is the Pshat? Yeah.
What do you mean, like that?
Just explain, what's the, like the Talmud over? Like for instance, matzah is a mitzvah of Ichil's matzah, mar is a mitzvah of Ichil's mar. Now the reason is zecher or whatever, but now it's saying, so therefore what? What's the halacha of Haseba and why is it that it's, what's the sense of it being applying here to matzah, not to mar? How to eat it? It's interesting, there's actually, it's brought down, the Rosh brings down. But the question is let's say you eat it matzah without Haseba. So then what happens? Do you have to go back? Right? So what would you think?
No.
Why?
Presumably a Seba is like a Darabana.
Okay. It's a Darabana. It's like a separate mitzvah or something, right? So the Rosh, look at the Gemara on the bottom of the page. The first wide line. It says Tashma. First wide line. The Amar Rishu ben Levi. Hashamish sha'achal kazayas matzik shu mesav. If the shamish, who's a waiter, he also has to lean. So if he eats a kazayas matzah, when he's leaning, yatza. He's yatza. Right? Mesev in lo, mesev lo. So you see, if he eats it when he's not leaning, he's not yatza. Shema mina bo yaseva. Because the Gemara wanted to know, does a waiter, servant, have to lean? So it proves it from this brisa. You see that a shamish, who if he eats a kazayas matzah when he's leaning, he's yatza. The implication is if he eats when he's not leaning, he's not yatza. So what do you see from there? What do you see from there?
Well, it's weird that it talks about later. Like, who cares who it is?
Oh, well, that's the reason why the Gemara brings that up, is because the Gemara wants to know. It says, like, a son doesn't lean in front of his father, a Tama doesn't lean in front of his Rebbe, so on and so on. What about a worker? What?
He definitely should be
Yotzin.
The son's not leaning in front of his father,
and
Tama's not leaning in front of his Rebbe.
Oh, but you could just say that that's because the Takana of Haseba doesn't apply there. But here, I'm saying is where the... Okay, well, I'm just asking for the good question, but what does the Gemara sound like?
Sounds like because...
Sounds like you're Yotze or you're not Yotze?
It says Yotze, right? The Shamash.
Well, it says, the Shamash who eats a Gezayis Matzah when he's leaning is Yotze. But if he eats a Gezayis Matzah when he's not leaning, but the implication is if he eats a Gezayis Matzah when he's not leaning, he's not Yotze.
Right.
Not Yotze what? Right? I mean, obviously it means Matzah, right? You don't need it to tell you if a Shamash eats a Gezayis leaning... He's Yotze leaning. I mean, if he's leaning.
He's leaning.
So it means it's telling you if he eats a guy's matzo when he's leaning, he's Yotze. But if he eats when he's not leaning, he's not Yotze. So the Rosh deduces from here, and I don't know of anyone who argues, that you're not Yotze. Now, I don't know if there's a separate question. Does it mean you're not Yotze de'oraisa or you're not Yotze de'rabanan? That's the general question, is could the Rabbanan take away your kim de'oraisa? Well, let's say not. But the point is that according to the Rabbanan, you're not Yotze. You're not Yotze in the mitzvah the way the Rabbanan told you to do it. Now, the Rabbanan said, this is like what Mark's saying. This is how you have to eat matzah. You know, there's a derech achila matzah, there's a mitzvah, and they're telling you, this is the way that we demand that you do it. And if you don't do it that way, I mean, maybe you're following what the Torah said, but you're not following mitzvah's matzah. And mitzvah's matzah is given to the chachamim to interpret and to apply. Yeah, he says, right? And he quotes this Gemara. Yeah, so Rosh always says that. He proves it from this Gemara. But it's a pretty good proof. I don't know if I haven't seen a lot of people mention it, but I think I looked in the Torah. I don't remember anyone arguing on it. What? They don't mention anyone. But they bring down the Rosh?
Yeah, bring down the Rosh.
Yeah. And I think it's written on halacha. That's halacha. Practically, if you forget to lean for matzah, then you have to go back and eat the matzah again. The whole gezayis. Basically, not yotze.
I mean, you think it's such a...
Okay, good. So you guys are saying good. So basically, the thing is like this, is that the halacha is that you see it's somehow built into the mitzvah of matzah, because you see not yotze mitzvah matzah, at least the Rabbanan, this way. So it's not just an extraneous halacha that you're supposed to lean tonight. Oh, when are you supposed to lean? Oh, yeah, I guess we'll do it by the matzah. If that were the case, then I mean, I can say not Yotzei Matzah, you can say not Yotzei Aseva. But Matzah seemed to be fine, so you didn't do it, so fine. But it seemed to be, it's like built into the mitzvah of Matzah somehow.
Is Aseva even a...
It's not, it seems to be, it's like, it's not just, Aseva isn't just to lean, because like, B'nai Chorin, everyone leans, everyone goes to sleep leaning. The idea of Aseva is that's the way rich people, B'nai Chorin, eat. Right, like I was saying, probably because... Like, they have waiters who could serve them, and they just sit back and be all comfortable. Like, a guy who's in his own house, you can think it's annoying. What do you mean? They lay down, and then you're going to have to remember to get the ketchup, and you're going to have to stand up and go get it, and it's just like, oh, whatever.
It seems like so, why do we still do that?
Yeah.
No, that's a good question. This is Machlikas Rishonim, whether you chayev to. Everyone holds you do, but the Ravi holds you don't, because he says it's not, since nowadays, not expression of chayev, so you don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But the others learn, look, it's all, hopefully we'll get to, maybe we'll be able to understand why. But the simplest way is like that's built into the halacha and it wants to point to the concept of cheiros and therefore it still points to that concept even though practically we don't do it. But we'll get, well, it's a good question. Good question. But I'm just saying presumably the way it was though is back then there was like they had servants and you just sit down and be all comfortable. Like king, like the picture of a king, like sitting back, all his servants serving him. He's just the most comfortable way possible. And everyone just serves him. And it's like nowadays it's not that comfortable anymore, right?
Yeah.
Get food all over your shirt and you know, they spill everything. It just doesn't
work. When you have to, it makes it even more
uncomfortable. I know. Somehow, I guess we just lost the art. I don't know. Maybe you need a king also who just gets to put on his servants, put on new clothes on him all the time. And I don't know. Just
couch
is decent. Yeah, it's true.
You need like mandatory like part of that.
Yeah, it's true. One year we did that. One year I brought the couch to my table.
Really?
It was good. Yeah. I did it for the kids. Yeah, it's fun for the kids, it's fun for the adults, it's just, you know, Why not bring a couch? Well, you'll do that this year, actually. Yeah. But, yeah, like, I would a lot of recliner.
It's not comfortable with the chair.
I know. Chair doesn't work out. Well, you get to put pillows. I mean, the one thing is, it doesn't just mean go like this. That's a halacha. You have to lean on something. If you just go put, it's not just an angle of your body. People do that. You know, you angle your body. You're not yotze if you do that. Leaning means leaning on something. So you have to at least put, like, a pillow on your armchair or something, or put a chair next to you and lean on it. You turn the other way and put a pillow there so you're leaning. Yeah, you could do that. But it has to be on something. The point is, if you're just sitting in your chair and you just pick a 45-degree angle or something, you know. You're turning your chair then, right? Well, you could be leaning on the chair. I don't know. I'm not really sure if that's, like, leaning. Like, you can just sit on the back of your chair. You mean lean sideways? Yeah, I don't know. I feel like leaning has also to do with, like, an angle. Right. You know?
I'm saying you do it on
Oh, if it's not a leaner chair? Maybe it's a leaner chair. But if it's just a regular chair, I don't know if you're going to be able to pull it off. Yeah, maybe you could do it. Yeah. So there's a shita. It's interesting. I was saying is the Ravia holds doesn't apply nowadays because it doesn't. We don't do it anymore. But others learn it's a strict. It's built into the halacha, and hopefully we'll understand them more. But from what I hear is that Rebbe Seder, he tells the guys because the halacha is that a Talmud doesn't lean in front of his Rebbe. He's not a chayev to, because it's a good question why. But unless it's not covered for a Talmud to lean in front of his Rebbe. So even Ben Choren, whatever, but it's not a derech of a Talmud to lean in front of his Rebbe. So halacha is a Rebbe can be mochel. So from what I hear, Rebbe at his Seder isn't mochel the guys to do it. And basically, therefore, the guys don't do it. And I think it's because, like, a combination of, look, in terms of the practicality of it, no one's really experiencing chayros when you do it. It's not comfortable. But, like, halachically, it's part of the halacha of the Seder. So halachically, it just feels like, look, halacha is you don't do it if your Rebbe's there. So it's not Rebbe's style to be makbid about his kavod, but I think it just feels like in this thing, it's not for his kavod. It makes life easier for everyone else to say there. And halachically, it's a patora. There's no halacha you should be macha. You know, so it's not really, if it were enhancing the chayrus experience, then it would be, well, I don't know if he would do that. It would be more, let them do it. But, like, it's not enhancing anyone's chayrus experience. It's just on the contrary. It's even more comfortable to just eat normal. Yeah, and that's halacha. So why be mochel as gavod and then mechayev everybody to do it and end up making, you know, especially there's a lot of people at a seder and ends up there's no room for everybody. It just, you know, just doesn't really, you know, bring that about. But, okay, so back to this. So the thing is like this, is that mitzvah matzah is really, so this is, I think, important, is that the Rashbam and Rashi are important because they say that matzah is zecher l'cheres. So which means is like part of the matzah is the zecher legula. It's not just like a tamei mitzvos, right? There's a famous Ramban about this, but see, and a lot of mitzvos are the reason why Hashem said to do the mitzvah is because of XYZ, because of whatever reason. But by matzah, it's really part and parcel of the mitzvah, the zecher legula. The matzah zu, you see, we even say in the Seder, the matzah zonach mal shema. And Rav Gamliel says, "Kol shelo amar shosh dvar me'lo v'pesach lo yizdei chavasa." The Ramban, the question is, what does that mean? Right? We say that. Right? Rav Gamliel says, if you don't say pesach amar, lo yizdei chavasa. So the question is, what are you not yotze? So how do you interpret that? What are you not yotze? If you don't say pesach amar, what you're not yotze what chova? What does that mean? You're not yotze what chova? So the plainest pshat is, you're not yotze sipor. That Sipur has to be tied to the mitzvahs. It's not just telling a story of an event that happened, but you have to tie that story to our asiyos, our mitzvahs on the night. And if you don't do that, you're lacking in your sipur. And that's why we say Rigaliel Omer in the Haggadah. It's part of the sipur. But the Ramban learns that it means you're not yotze Pesach, Matzah, and Marar, Bishlei Musa. That you're lacking in your mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Marar if you don't explain that the Pesach is to remind us of Hatzalah, the Matzah is to remind us of Geula, the Marah is to remind us of the Mariras, of the enslavement. That he holds it. It doesn't mean they're not Yotze. I think he shows from somewhere else that, I think it's Rabbi Nachman Hashem. He explains how sometimes Lo Yotze doesn't mean you're not Yotze, it just means it's not the highest level. But he maintains, the punchline is that part of the mitzvah of Matzah is the Zecher L'Geula. It's not just the Tam HaDavar. Because again, most mitzvahs, if you don't know you're not thinking or discussing the philosophy of the mitzvah, you're still using the mitzvah 100%. Just philosophy. A lot of philosophy. There's a lot of good ideas in mitzvahs. Doesn't mean you need them for the mitzvah. But the Ramban is learning that the mitzvah, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of matzah, is the ideas of matzah. And the Leil Seder is not just a bunch of asiyas, without ideas. The ideas are built into the very mitzvahs. So that being the case, that could be, that's what Rashi and Rashbam are saying, is the matzah is zeche l'geula. That's part of the mitzvah's matzah, that you're eating an object which is zeche l'geula, and the more you're eating an object which is zeche l'avdas. So now we could expand on what Mark was saying. So what's the halacha of, and I guess what you're saying also, Shlomo, is what's the halacha of Haseba? How's Haseba woven into matzah? Haseba is not just stam, a separate halacha that tonight you're supposed to lean. But the halacha is that the chafza of matzah is a chafza which is zecher l'geula. That's what matzah is. It's a mitzvah to eat this lechem, which is zecher l'geula. But how do you eat it? You eat it in a manner of cheras. In other words, the chafza is a chafza which is zecher l'geula, and the rabbanon's takana is that how do you, since the chafza is the whole idea, the identity of matzah is zecher l'geula, the rabbanon are mesakin a derech achila of how you eat it. That is, you eat it in a manner which is in line with the conceptual nature of what the chafza is. It's a chafza of geula. You eat it in a manner of cheras, in a manner which is in line with geula. That's the very takana. So it's like, it's in line with the very mitzvah of matzah. Matzah's matzah lends itself, because part of the mitzvah matzah is the ideas of geula. So therefore, it lends itself to be machayev in a derech achila, which is in line with geula. It's reminding you of geula. Eat it the way of a B'nai Choron. And if you don't, then you're lacking in the mitzvah matzah. Because now the mitzvah matzah is supposed to remind you of geula, should remind you of geula not just through the chafza, but also through the ma'itha derech achila. And otherwise you're lacking. This is the way the Rabbanan told you to do mitzvah matzah. How do you bring about the zecher l'geula? Through the chafza, through being eaten in a certain ma'isa, in a certain derech. And otherwise it's lacking. But by Marar, since the very chafza of Marar is zecher l'meriras, zecher l'avdas, so then it wouldn't make any sense to do that in a derech achila of cheres. It would like contradict the very identity of the mitzvah. So that's why it's not just that they weren't mechayiv you, but the very nature of the way the thing is set up, of Haseba is set up, is that it can't be by Marar. Because it would be taking a chafza who is supposed to be a reminder, and part of the achila is an achila of avdas, and now you're going to do them derech achila and a derech acheras. That's like contradiction. That's what I'm saying, is by there's no halacha. Yeah, and that's why the Rosh makes sense, that you're not yotzei the mitzvah matzah. You're not yotzei, because it's not just an extraneous halacha. It's woven into the very structure of what matzah is, of what mitzvah matzah is. If it were a separate halacha that you chayev to lean tonight, and, oh yeah, the way we happen to put it is by matzah, then you wouldn't be able to say, you know, yotzei matzah, just a separate, you know, if I happen to locate the seba and a seba and matzah. But if it really belongs and it's woven into the structure of mitzvahs matzahs, then it makes sense that it's going to be that it's going to be like it. That's a question. I mean, the dalakosos we're going to get to next in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to get into that, whether they do, which they do, how they do, why only salad. But we do it for all cops. We do it for all four. We lean for all four. But that's what Gemara says, we do it all four. But it's a, you'll see, it's a mahalik. We're going to get to that. I mean, you can't jump the gun. The Gemara is about to take that up. It's about to take that up. But it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I'm saying it's mitzvahs matzahs of deoraisa, which is the idea of the mitzvahs achilas matzahs and achilas gula, v'lachem of gula. And I'm saying is the rabbanon's takana of cheras was woven into that. It says that since it's a chavtz of gula, you eat it in a derech of gula.
Right,
now the question is, when the rabbanon set up dalakosos, how did they build cheras? Did they build haseba into it? Did they not? How did they? It's another sugya, you know? So it seems like they should, but it's not, you know, we have to analyze it independently.
I guess the seaport rainbow.
Well, see, the thing is like this, is I think Karpas is, it helps, well, it's a good question, because it helps bring out what I think the point of the Rashi and the Rashbam is that matzah is a chafza, which is zecher l'geula. It's lachem oni, it's the bread that didn't rise when they were leaving Mitzrayim. It reminds us of the geula, right? While they were leaving, they ate matzah. So it's a chafza, which is zecher l'geula. So cheros naturally fits into that, to eat it in b'nedar cheros. But karpas is to bring about the sheilas habat. So it's not directly tied to remind us of geula. It's more just a functional eating, which is going to remind the evoke the sheila. Why are you eating? You start eating and then you stop eating. And they say, well, what's going on here? You're eating, you're not eating, what's happening? So, but it's not intrinsically zecher l'geula. So by there, to start putting, saying you have to do Haseba on that, it doesn't naturally fit in the structure of the mitzvah, in the structure of it. You know, by matzah, it naturally lends itself to extending the mitzvah's matzah to include the requirement of Haseba. You know, but karpas is the same as anything, arguably is the same as anything else in the night. It's not a... Yeah, I mean, the Rambam has is that it's a kiyum to do. He says the mitzvah is by dalikosos and by matzah. Everything else is meshubach if you do it.
More?
I don't know. He doesn't say. He just says other things, if you eat seba, it's meshubach. If not, you know, tzarach. So it sounds like he holds that independent of the part of Mrs. Matzah, there's a general idea in the Laila. It's a Laila of a Geula and Ucheiros. And all your Achilas Laila will be seba. You know, your meal, your meat, your this, your that. Seems like that's what he holds. I don't think Mara says that anywhere, but it's the Rama. So then karpas also would be, you know. But I don't know. I seem to think maybe someone says openly do it by karpas. Okay, so now we're up to dalikosos. And this is where it's a little more juicy. More meaty. Okay? Dalikosos. Yayin. Itmar mishmeder of Nachman tzarech haseba, v'itmishmeder of Nachman tzarech haseba. So there's two statements in the name of Rav Nachman. One of them said you have to lean for the four cups. The other one said you don't have to lean. For the yayin. For lo pligi, it's not a machlogas. Ho betarti kasi kamoi, har betarti kasi basroi. This is talking about the first two cups. This is talking about the second two cups. Okay? One of the statements which says you shouldn't lean is talking about the first two. One of the statements says you shouldn't lean is talking about the second two. But we don't know which is which. Amri lo lahagisa or lahagisa. Which way, which two need and which two don't need, not clear. What's the argument? Amri lo lahagisa, trei kasi kamoi bo haseba. One argument is the first two need haseba. Why? Tehashtahu dekamaschala la acheros. Because that's when you're beginning to talk about acheros. First two cups. First cup is Kiddush, second cup is on Magid, right? On the Sipur. Trekasi Basroi Lobo Haseba, the last two cups, which is on benching and on Hallel, don't need Haseba. Maidahave Ave. What happened, happened. It's already done. You finished talking about Sipur. Now you're doing Hallel and benching. It's all over. It's the end of the Seder. You don't need to lean for that. That's one argument. First two, not the second two. But some say the other way. Adraba, just the opposite. Treka seba sroiba seba. The last two need a seba. Dehahi shaita de kahavya cheros. That's when you're free. When are you free? You're free at the end of the Seder. But treka seka moilobo seba de akati avadamahinu kamar. Because you're still talking about our slavery. That we were slaves. So you're not going to lean when you're talking about your slavery. Right? Funny. Hasha the Marachi and Marachi the Vidiba Seba. Mar concludes, since we don't know which way, so basically Chayv do a Seba on both. Okay?
It's a little contradictory.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know. A little bit contradictory. Good question. But let's leave that part of the Gemara out. The resolution. Okay, so let's see. Is there Rashi or Rashbam? No Rashi. Yeah, Rashbam. It's the second to last skinny line in the Rashbam. Dehi shayt the mishtoi b'cheiros. Ube ge'ula. Shomar ha'gada. Because you're talking about cheiros and ge'ula because you're in the ha'gada. Right. Ha'ash ha'shmina minada. Because there are seba mar and there are seba. Okay, so basically it doesn't help out. Okay. So this is the machlokas. Do you lean for the first two or do you lean for the second two? Do you argue the first two you should because that's when you're talking about cheiros? That's when you're talking about the geula. But the last two, it's already history. It's done. What are you leaning for? Or do you argue the opposite? No. That the first two, you're talking about Avodah Mayinu. Don't lean then. The last two, then you're free. Then you should lean. What do we do? So how do we analyze? So what are the questions? If we're trying to analyze this Gemara here about the dalikosos, right? So what are our questions? One question is, I guess Yaakov's expressing it. They both make sense. They're like, what's the, to me, the whole, you said that. The whole thing is difficult to me is like, what's the, if I would have just asked you, before we then tend this Gemara. The Dalekosos need and say Seba. You'd say, yeah. You'd say, which ones? You'd say, I don't know, Dalekosos.
Right.
What's the whole sense? Is there Dalekosos are like the first two, the second two? I mean, Dalekosos.
Yeah,
what's the whole halacha of Dalekosos? Isn't the whole halacha of Dalekosos an expression of Cheiros? It's freedom. Four cups of wine. It's like they're Cheiros, right? B'nei Choron. Even an Ani expresses Cheiros. So wouldn't you just think, like, and this is like kind of showing your question from before, it's like matzah we're doing because they are cheiros, right? So wouldn't you think that Dalekosos itself is cheiros and drinking it all four? Where'd the whole thing come from?
The first one that's just like the first two.
Yeah, well, this basic structure of the mitzvah is the beginning of the laila. I mean, I think we should break this up. Is the beginning of the night, you're talking about Sibur Yisrael Mitzrayim, talking about the story. I mean, the Hakiddush you start off with Sechut Yisrael Mitzrayim, you mentioned that, and then you're beginning to tell the story. He's telling the story, and that's all the way through Maggid. And the second coast is on, they're holding the whole second coast during the whole of Maggid while you're telling the whole story. So that's the part of the Seder when you tell the story. Then, how does the night progress? So the very, very end of Maggid says, "Behold, over the Archayev Adam Leros Azatzmo, Kiluhu Yatsu Mitzrayim. Every generation you chayev to view yourself as if you went out of Mitzrayim." Right? And to personalize it. And what's the response when you view yourself as if you went out of Mitzrayim? Because you have to view yourself as if you went out of Mitzrayim, you tell the story, but now you have to personalize it. And when you personalize it and you think as if I went out of Mitzrayim, therefore you chayev to express praise, halal, and that's where you end Hamagid with halal, the first parak and halal. So it's like the Sipur is mechayev you. It obligates you to give praise because you think over the benefit to you, and that it's as if you went out of Mitzrayim, so then you have to give halal. And that's where you stop. And then you do the meal, but then you continue the halal. So it's like the end of the Seder is, it's not really the time to do the halal now. You do the halal later. It's just, it's the mechayev of the halal is the sipur, so you put in like the beginning of it at the end of Magen. But so the end of the Seder, you're done with sipur. Now you're just involved in praising God, expressing, realizing that God made you free and all that. So there are two different stages. So that's his argument. The first two, you're talking about Sipur, so then you do it. But my question is more just, there's a mitzvah.
You're not talking about being free, though. You're talking about the bad of it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're not talking about it. You're not exactly talking about being free. I mean, it's sort of.
Is it just because the last two aren't have nothing to do with
it? Yeah, right.
At that point, you know that there is redemption, you know?
What?
It's not all of it in my too.
I know, you mean according to the side who says...
Certainly by the second cup, you know.
I know, that's a good question. Is on the position who's saying is you do it on the last ones because you're free. But the first ones, you're still saying about the Ma'ino. Yeah. But not when you drink the second cup. When you drink the second cup, you're already done with it. It's the end of Maggid, right?
Yeah.
So what do you mean you're still saying about the Ma'ino? That was the way you started.
You know the happy ending.
Yeah, not only that. About the Ma'ino, Farvan Tzrayim.
It
doesn't take that many words to get into the redemption, right? So it's altogether difficult, right? What does that mean? You're still saying about the Ma'ino. Not by the, certainly not by the end when you want to be leaning. I understand, yeah, the first cup, yeah.
The first
cup, you could say, yeah, on the first opinion which says you do, no, I'm sorry, on the second opinion which says that you only do it on the second two cups. Because then you're free. But the first two cups, you can't do it because you're still saying that we are slaves. So Matt's saying is we're not really saying you're slaves. By the time you're drinking it, you're already done saying that you're slaves. Now you're up to the part where you're free.
Those are the bookmarks, the beginning and the end. I mean, even the first cup, when you drink it, you're not actually saying anything, you're drinking. I mean,
it's true, but he's saying Kiddush. I guess he's saying Dilichias and Shayim. I know, but I guess it's in that part of the Seder, which you haven't yet.
They mark the beginning and the end, so it's consider it the beginning and the end.
Of that part. Fine, but that part of the Seder does talk about two things. It's talking about that we were slaves and then we went free. So why can't you lean then? Because you're talking about slaves, but you're talking about slaves going free. That's what you're talking about. So it's bookmarking the part, which is talking about a slave going free. So it's not clear why you can't do leaning at that point. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really make sense. I mean, you can't... It's not like we're still slaves.
I guess it's two different perspectives. Right?
And anyways, also the other part, where he says, the first way says, you can't do it because you're already done. I mean, what, like it wouldn't make sense to lean out because the Ave, that's history? I mean, after all, this is still the Seder night, and we're still thinking about Yisrael Mitzrayim and all that, so you're going to say, now you can't lean because it's history, we're free already, tough break, it's all over. Like, it's hard to understand. I mean, everything sounds forced here. The simplest way you would have said is you lean on all four cups and go home, and that's it. I mean, it's who came up with this whole idea? There's two cups, these two cups, those two cups, which two cups? It just, the whole thing sounds like artificial. Like, look, I guess if you have this Mesorah that it's only for two cups, you have to start figuring out which one, so I guess you come up with these ideas. But it doesn't sound like, where does the whole thing come from? You know, what's the sense of dividing up the four cups altogether? You know? And what's the machlokas ultimately? What's the, you know, it must be there, they have different sense, you know, some different way of learning Haseba or something like that. Right? Like, what's the root of this machlokas? You know, such that, huh?
How we look at the story?
How we look at the story?